I'll read down through verse number 5 and share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart for the message this morning. Psalms chapter 37, verse number 1, the Word of God says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Now, I want to read verse 5 again. That's where we'll take our text. "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. Now, all of you know that we've got revival starting this week. Starting on Thursday night is when the meeting will start. That's when the meeting will start, is on Thursday night. And surely we'd like for revival to begin now in our hearts and lives. And, well, Lord, we want to worship this morning in the spirit of revival, certainly. But, friend, if we're going to have revival this week and have more than just a series of meetings, more than just a good time, more than just a stirring, but have a true reviving of our spirits and our hearts and lives, there are many things that we'll need in great abundance, Brother John. And I thought about what this week, and as I began to study and prepare for the message this morning, I thought about the many things that we'd stand in need of in order to have revival. What are the ingredients? What's the necessary parts to have, friend? And first and foremost, I decided and have come to the conclusion and through the study of the Word of God that the power of God is needing more than anything else if we're to have revival this week. We'll have to have the power of God. You see, we can have church without meaning. We can have it without sin. We can have it without padded pews and air conditioners and heaters and a piano and a pulpit. And we can have church without a songbook. But my friend, we cannot have church without the power of God. It is impossible to worship God without the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. For they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Father seeketh for such to worship Him. I'm telling you, friend, when the Holy Ghost of God comes on the scene, He makes all the difference in the world. Amen. We cannot have church without Him. I mean, He turns a sermon into a message. He turns a speech into preaching. Amen. When the Holy Ghost comes on the scene, He turns a song into praise. He turns a testimony into worship and adoration. He turns a gathering into the fellowship of believers under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And there, when He shows up, that He makes all the difference in the world. But the problem is, Brother Matthew, we cannot generate the power of God in and of ourselves. I cannot make it happen. I cannot create the power of God. It is not of the work of my hands. I mean, we can slap the pulpit, shout, scream, holler, run around, stand on our head, get in the altar, weep and wail and scream. And the prophets of Baal even cut themselves with stones. And the power of God still did not come. I tell you, it will not be generated by the work of man, but rather by the grace of God. And we need His grace shine upon us if we are to worship today. We'll have to have the power of God, and it'll come by a move of God. And since we cannot generate that power, friend, what rather must we do? We can't generate it, friend. We cannot make it. But we can, however, put ourselves in a position where God will, by faithful edict and promise, faithfully execute, my friend, the moving and the willing power of the Holy Ghost amongst us. He's promised us where two or three gather together in His name, there He'll be in the midst of us to own and to bless. Amen. Hallelujah, yes. Brother John Gemmon told me years ago that me, myself, and I, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, make six so we can have church all by ourselves. Thank God if we'll present ourselves unto God to be used. He will faithfully, by promise, by contract, and by covenant, show up in our midst to own and to bless and touch us with the faithful and wonderful moving of the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And that is the only way that we'll have church, friend. So what must we do? What must we do? Put ourselves in a position where God will faithfully send His power. The question then I ask myself is, what must we do to put ourselves in that position to receive this revival power? Had a thought of a lot of things that we could do. Had a thought of a lot of things that we need. Had a thought of a lot of things that we might could try to put to do with ourselves and put ourselves in that position to receive the power. But I found that the very thing that encompassed everything that we need, every area of our life that we need in order to have the power of God, Brother David Lewis, is commitment to the Lord. A commitment to God. I mean, friend, you'll not have the power of God without a commitment to God. You'll not have the anointing of God without a commitment to God. You'll not have a stirring of God. You'll not have revival from God without a commitment to God. There's a greater void of commitment in the church today than what there has ever been, friend. I mean, we're living in a day where people will not make a commitment to the Lord, will not commit to serve Him and live for Him and walk with Him and trust Him, commit their way and will and word and work unto Him for His direction and His power and His authority to rule in their life. What? Know you not, you are not your own. You're bought with a crown of the price. And your body and your spirit's God's. They don't belong to yourself if you've been saved. Commit your way unto the Lord. I mean, friend, trust in the Lord. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways. And He shall direct thy paths. I'm telling you, the hand of God's been on this whole meeting this morning. Directing all of it. That's what Sister Angel read this morning for opening in Sunday school. I tell you, it will require a commitment of us if we're to have the power of God. You see, though, you can't drink of the cup of the devil and the cup of the Lord at the same time. And sweet and bitter water doesn't come from the same fountain. A man can serve two masters. He'll love the one, hate the other. He'll cleave to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon, friend. I mean, if you're going to get right with God, have power with God, and serve God, you'll have to make a commitment. Give it up for God. The Bible said that all the children of Israel died in the wilderness, save two. Joshua the son of Nun, Caleb the son of Jephunneh. Why did they inherit the kingdom of God? The Bible said because they served the Lord with a whole heart. Amen. They were committed to God's while they were able to inherit Canaan land. If we're to live in Canaan, friend, we'll have to live in commitment. Amen. If we're to live in Canaan, live under the power of God, the anointing of God being on our lives, beloved, we'll have to live a life of commitment to God. Well, if we're to have revival this week in a wicked and untoward generation, it will require but to commit to Christ our lives and our trust, and then we can have great things. I mean, we'll have to have a commitment from us. Oh, God, help us today. Notice verses 3 through 5 in our text verses here in Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You'll have your needs met, He said, if you'll trust in Him, depend on Him, count on Him, commit yourself to Him. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You'll have prayers answered if you'll commit to Him. Verse 5 said, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You pray for revival, you thought about it, you planned for it. But if you want God to bring it to pass today, we're going to have to commit ourselves unto Him, commit our way unto Him, and allow God to work in us the beautiful working of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, but if we will commit ourselves unto Him, Brother John, He will bring it to pass. Amen. Oh, what a blessed, faithful God. Amen. Somebody said, oh, this is a wicked day. This is a terrible generation. This is an ungodly time. There'll not be revival in this day. Folks are strayed from God and they ain't coming back. May I remind you that we're not counting on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, President Bush, or an ungodly Congress. This is God we're talking about. And there ain't nothing too big for God. Amen. Hey, thank God. No mountain is too high. No valley is too low. No river is too wide. No giant is too tall. No problem is too great. No time is too wishing. No sinner is too far gone. You cannot ask too much of my God. If you'll commit your way unto the Lord and trust in Him, He will bring it to pass. Thank God His hands not shortened, His power's not weak. He's still God. He's still on His throne. And all He wants of us is to commit to Him. Well, yes, God can. God will. If we will. Sing that song, hymn book sometime, Brother John, that says, "The only thing that I can see that worries God is you and me. When we're burdened down with care, He never leaves us there. But when we call upon His name, wrong or right, He's just the same. Ready to have our burdens bear. Oh, there must be a God somewhere." Well, and He's big enough to do anything. I mean, He's bigger than your explanations of Him, Brother Charles. He's bigger than our imaginations of Him. He's bigger than our wildest dreams could ever conceive. Thank God, there ain't nothing too big for God. You cannot ask too much of God. Commit yourself to Him. Trust in the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. Thank God. Oh, but I'm asking you this morning, friend, are you committed to Him? We want to have His power. We want to have His might. We want to have experience of His glory and His revival power. All we need this morning is a commitment to God, a commitment to Him, and always. Are you really committed to Him today, friend? Commitment. What is commitment? Well, Webster's Dictionary said about it that it's a contractual engagement involving the fulfillment of an obligation. It is to give over to another the care or use of something. It is to entrust. I want to say I've committed my life unto Him. I've given unto Him the use or care. I have entrusted Him with my life, my body and my soul. Having committed to Him, I have a contractual arrangement with Him, an engagement with Him, fulfilling, involving the fulfillment of an obligation. My obligation to love Him is obligations to save me, and thank God I bless His name that He saved me and changed my life because I committed unto Him. Couldn't save myself, but He didn't ask me to. He only asked me to give over the care of myself, the use of myself, and entrust myself to Him. Amen. It said it means to pledge oneself to a particular position or course of action. I want to ask you, are you committed to serve God? Are you pledged to commit yourself, to give yourself over to a particular position or course of action in your life? I mean, friend, are you really committed to God? Spiritually speaking, the best definition I could find concerning commitment was, it is an identification and involvement with the person and purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A commitment to God is an identification and involvement with the person and the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that I'm committed unto Him. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. I'm not ashamed to be identified with Him and involved with Him in both His person and in His purpose that He has in this world. I don't want Him to make it live in me. We used to sing a song when I was a kid. Jesus, be Jesus in me. That's what I want Him to do. Amen. Just to be Lord in my life. To operate out of my life. To work in my life and allow me to work in His power. And I can have that through the auspices of commitment to God. Commitment to God. Commitment. You see, when you become committed, it brings about a responsibility to availability. And if you forget everything else I've preached this morning, I sure wish you'd boldface that somewhere or another in your notes. Highlight it, underline it. Italicize it if you can. You see, when you become committed, when you become committed, Brother Allen, you don't make yourself responsible to success. You don't make yourself responsible to productivity. You make yourself place upon yourself a responsibility to availability. Committed people are responsible to be available. Don't you hear what I'm saying now? God does not require of you results. He does not require of you success. He does not require of you the end result. What He does require of you is that you make yourself available to His work. You see, it's not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord. You'll not be successful because you've done so good, nohow. I mean, you'll be successful in your work for God because the Spirit of God anointed it, so you can't take credit for it. What are you then if you're not anything but a vessel that God could use? So if He can do it, friend, and He doesn't need our power to make it happen, all He wants us is to be available as tools for His use. So as committed Christians, we have, Brother Andy, a responsibility to availability.
Right.
I mean, He even called Isaiah. You remember when He called Isaiah in Isaiah 6? He said, go preach. Isaiah said, how long am I supposed to preach? He said, till all the trees is gone. Preach to the houses without inhabitants. Preach till there ain't nobody left to preach to. Isaiah said, well, how many of them going to get saved? God said, ain't none of them going to get saved. He said, oh, that preacher didn't do a very good job. His church ain't full. But God said, go preach and ain't nobody going to get saved. Was Isaiah a failure? Because he didn't have results? Oh no. Here's a success because he made the commitment to be obedient to God. God's not interested in your results. He can generate the results. He's interested in your faithfulness to be available in His use. You have, as a committed person, a responsibility to availability. You understand what I'm preaching about now? You got that premise. We can preach the rest of it. If you can't, we'll just have to stay there and everybody gets on board. Because that's what the whole message is about. A responsibility to availability. We've got to be available to allow God to use us. So Charles Spurgeon said, true commitment will result in obedience. Faith and obedience are in the same bundle. He who obeys trusts God. And he who trusts God obeys God. I mean, friend, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I wonder, are you fully committed to the Lord? Committed to God. Now listen, friend, if you become committed to the Lord, and I'm still in the introduction, I haven't gotten much message, just mostly introduction, so you stay with me this morning. But if you are committed to God, you can be certain of some things. You can be certain that there will be opposition to your committed lifestyle. You can be certain of that. Everybody ain't going to like it. Amen. But I want to tell you something, friend. The greatest opposition that comes to commitment to God has not come from without. It comes from within. Amen. It's intrinsic. We're the greatest obstacle. I'm the greatest obstacle to me being committed to God. Amen. And you're your greatest obstacle. Amen. Your life and your own ambitions and your own goals is your greatest hindrances to being committed to God. Amen. Well, we say, I'm just too busy to be committed to serve the Lord. I've got too many other things to do. Well, you need to cut some of them out and serve God. Or we say, well, I'll have to lose too many comforts of life. I mean, it ain't always comfortable to serve God, you see. To obey the Lord in all things doesn't always make your life more cushy and comfortable. Amen. And so, man, I ain't trying to drag out of you no strong feelings. I'll make you feel sorry for me or pity me. But there's been several jobs I've turned down, Brother John, making considerably more money in order to stay and serve God and work as a pastor here at this church, which is the will of God for my life. And I couldn't do it if I'd have done something different than what I'm doing now. So I'm going to stay in what I got done now. But God's always met all of my needs. That somebody said, I could do better and I could make more and I could have more. But friend, if it hinders your commitment to God, then what have you profited anything? Our love of comfort. Somebody said it's not convenient to my lifestyle or suitable to my goals. God help me. Talked to a man Friday night. If I called his name, some of you would know him, and therefore I won't do it. But I stopped to get me some medicine at the dollar store and talked to a man Friday night. He told me, he said, you know, we're really looking for a church. I get sick of hearing that. I mean, there's one on every corner. Under God, get in one, serve God, get in one, believes God in the Bible, and go to work, get baptized, become a member, and go to work in the church if you're saved. All these folks looking for a church, they ain't looking for a church. And this fella right here explained to me how what kind of church he's looking for. And I don't know one like this that I'd want to recommend to nobody. He said, I'm looking for a church. And he said, I really won't find a place right in worship. He said, you know, but I got so many things going on. Got so many things I'm going to do. And he said, I really don't want to get involved anywhere. He said, I'm so tired of being in church and having to work and do stuff. He said, I want a church where I can go and I can sit down and I can hear the Word of God. And then I can just leave and not be tied down to anything. And if I need to be gone on Sunday, it won't matter. It won't hurt anything. And where I don't have to get involved in work and all these things, he said, or get committed to anything. He said, that's the kind of church I'm looking for. I thought, well, reminded me of a story I read years ago where a fellow said that a pastor was answering the phone at the church office. Somebody called up with pretty much the same story. He said, sir, our church wouldn't be good for you, but I know just the place for you to go. He told him the address and told him the place to go. He asked the fellow, said, well, just call him. He said, no, sir, don't have a phone. You'll have to just go down there and meet with somebody. Well, I went down there on Sunday morning when he came around. When he got there, nobody was there. He was the only person at the church that morning. And the windows was all knocked out, Brother John. There's vines of muscadine and scupidine vines are growing through the windows and are crawling across the floor of the church building. You see, all of it had grown up. The building was falling in. The roof was caving in. He called a preacher back and said, preacher, I think you gave me the wrong address. There wasn't nobody there. He said, oh, no. I didn't give you the wrong address. Said that church has got a roll book of membership full of folks just like you. And that's why they're in the safe area. And I believe you'll fit in just right down there at that church. I'll tell you, Fred, if we're going to have a church that's worth participating in and worth having, it'll take commitment to serve God. Well, there's a lot of things in our life that'll get in the way. I know that. But it's kind of like your babies. Listen, as a woman said one time, says, I tell you, our preacher's always standing up and asking us to give more in the offering and asking us to do more work in the church and always preaching on serving God and all these things. And then she said, I'm about tired of all that. And she said, it's just too much trouble. That church is just too much trouble. That lady said, well, I understand that. I said, but let me explain it to you this way. I said, back about 20 years ago, and the Lord sent a little baby into our home, and they said that little baby boy cried every night, cried every day, messed up diaper after diaper. If I wasn't having to feed him, I was having to change him. If I wasn't changing him, I was having to put him to sleep. If I wasn't putting him to sleep, I was giving him medicine. And there's always something wrong with him. He always was scraping his knee. He was always a lot of trouble to us. I said, but then one day he got grown, and he moved off to college, and he got in a car wreck and he died, and said we attended his funeral 5 years ago, and said we hadn't had any more trouble out of him since. He hadn't been any more burned us since. She said, which one would you rather have? The burdens with the blessings or nothing at all? Amen. And I'll tell you, that's the way it is with church. We can shut her down today. We can quit serving God today. We can go to the house today, but then and it won't be any more burden to us anymore. It won't be any more offerings to give. No more honest Sunday mornings to get up and come to the brotherhood breakfast. No more time to spend at the house of God. That the blessings will go with the burdens. And then we must make a commitment to serve God. If there'll be a payday for it, it'll take service. Everybody wants a paycheck, but nobody wants to work. Wants a job, don't you, Brother Charles? But ain't nobody wants to work at it. Now, I don't know how your boss is. My boss just don't much enjoy paying folks to come sit around and look at the walls. You're going to get a paycheck, he wants you to work. The Bible says that if a man don't work, neither should he eat. Believe in giving a man the honest day's work for an honest day's pay. That's right. If you're too sorry to work, you're worse than an infidel, the word of God teaches us. Man won't work to provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. Sorry, low-down men, the day we're living in, it's a lazy bunch of couch potatoes. Ain't no wonder they died of heart attacks 35 years old. They hardly strong enough to stand up and hold their own weight. But spiritually, we've done just as bad.
We've become so weak and contented to sit still instead of making a commitment to service. Get a blessing out of it, we'll have to bear the burdens. Amen. There's certain opposition from within. Till we're too busy, we love comfort, we're not convenient with our lifestyles or goals. And then there'll come some certain opposition from without. I mean, everybody ain't going to like it that you serve God, love God, live right. When you get around them, it's going to condemn them. They're going to look at the way you act, the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you walk, all those things. And it's going to condemn them because they know that they need to get right with God. And they're not right with God. But friend, if you'll keep serving God, when they're ready to get right, you'll be the person that they'll head to. Some of you in this building this morning, before you ever got saved, you wouldn't have walked across the road to pour a cup of water on me if I was on fire. But here it is today, you'd go to battle for me. You know why? Because there's a day and time when you didn't know the Lord, that it bothered you, that it condemned you. And to be around the lifestyle, anybody that's sold out to God or committed to God. But today there's something in you that wants to fellowship with that. And we've got sweet communion. Do you not understand that the people that hate you, when they get under conviction and get right with God, we'll love you. I'm going to embarrass her, but she won't mind. Sister Tracy, man, she used to hate me with everything that is in her. Her and Brother Eddie started seeing one another, and we'd go out and double dates, you know. Me and Sonia, I think, was already married, but we'd still double dates, you know. We was just out of diapers. And we'd go have ourselves a good time. And Sister Tracy, she'd get so mad. And she'd say, well, since we're going out with that preacher and his wife tonight, I'm just going to wear the tightest pair of breeches I got. And I'm going to wear the loosest clothes that I can. I'm going to show him. I don't care what he thinks. And I didn't care what she did, man. She wasn't my wife. I mean, it's bigger than her business what she did. But boy, she had something to prove, something to show. And she won't get mad at me telling this. I love her. She loves me. I mean, we're friends. And she stuck up for me time and again. But some back then, she got mad. She hated me. She didn't even want to come to church out here when we started church. She didn't want no part of that. But as the Holy Ghost began working on her, and the Spirit of God began working on her heart, it wasn't long all them barriers of rebellion and these things got out of the way. And it wasn't long when other folks was saying about me the same thing she used to say. She'd say, now don't you talk about my preacher like that. How don't you do him that way? He said, you can't talk to my preacher like that. Well, you see, do you understand that everybody's not going to appreciate the lifestyle you live if you're committed to God? But friend, when it comes right down to the time where they stand in need of a prayer to be prayed through, they know that you're for real, and that's why your life condemned them, and you'll be the person they head to, and God can allow you the blessings of a friendship that you otherwise would have never had. Like you, but they'll respect you. They may never know, let you know that they respect you. They may make you think that they hate you. The truth is, they respect you and want to be like you, but don't want to make the sacrifices necessary to live like that. That's the truth. You believe that, don't you, Brother Brock? That's right. His boys, Brother Brock's boys, see him coming and they run. Because they know what Daddy's going to tell them. Son, you need to get saved. You need to get in church. You need to live for God. Boy, the best thing ever happened to me is getting born again. He's just glowing. I go over to see him. They say, Daddy's just a glow. Said, he's just got a glow about him. He's always excited and comes over here and sits in the living room, squalls, carries on about God. And I said, Hey, they don't run for him because they don't like him. They run for him because they know that he's got something they don't have. And they'd like to have it, but they're not ready to make the sacrifices necessary to live that way just yet. Well, but there'll come a blessed day if the Lord will have mercy and grace on them. When, friend, they'll embrace that, and they'll embrace the Lord and embrace a commitment to Christ, and they'll thank God for every day that Daddy came to their house and sat on their couch and wept before them and told them they need to be saved and they need to live for God. I'll tell you, it does pay to serve the Lord. It does pay to serve the Lord. A commitment to God. A commitment. There will be opposition, friend. But I want you to know, not only will there be opposition, there will be provision. Amen. There is a certainty of opposition, but there is a promise of provision, friend. And that God will give us grace to carry out service to Him. Amen. There is grace, my friend, to carry out service for the committed soul. God's Word done in God's way never runs out of God's supply. Amen. God's Word done in God's way never runs out of God's supply. I'm glad there is certain provisions. A promise of them, and God's not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but He's faithful to us with that belief. Amen. I'm saying, man, thank God that He does hear and answer prayer. He does meet the need of His anointed. And we will commit to Him and trust in the Lord. He will bring it to pass. Well, there's a certainty of opposition, but there's a promise of provision. And there's a demand for holiness. The holy God requires holiness in a committed life. In your service to God, God's work must be done in God's way. Serving God, or supposedly serving God, just any old way won't cut it. You see, when you serve God in a way that's in opposition to His Word, you're not serving God. You're serving yourself, and you're serving Satan, and you're serving selfishness and ungodliness, but you're not serving God. Man for holiness. You see, your service to the Lord, your commitment to God, should be motivated by love. It should be done unto the Lord. And it should benefit others. And it should glorify God. God, help us to become genuinely and truly committed unto the Lord. To commit to God today. You know, you want to have revival this week. Don't wait till Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, next Sunday to get committed. You ought to commit to God today. Commit to Him today. We ought to commit to Him, first of all, in salvation. Now, these 3 points is easy, so I'm not going to start and preach another hour sermon. To God in salvation. I mean, friend, in 1 Timothy 1:12 said, I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. I mean, Paul says, I've committed to Him in salvation, and God's a said God that provides salvation. Faithful, saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Commit to Him in salvation, friend. If you've never been saved, today's the day to do what Paul said in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's time to commit to Him to be saved. He ain't going to come along, slap you off your pew, and my friend, and force Himself on you and make you get born again. He's not going to come down there and roost on the foot of your bed at night and, my friend, create some sort of story galaxy in your bedroom to reveal Himself to you. When His Spirit deals with your heart, it's time to get saved. Commit yourself to Him in salvation. Brother Brock knows about this. How simple is it, Brother Brock, to get saved? How simple is it? It's simple when it's presented to you. Just as simple as when I present that pen to Brother Brock, as reaching out there and taking it. As a man come along told him that one day when he was lost. Didn't know the Lord. And he wasn't ready to reach out and take it. But it was right there. All he had to do was just reach out there and get it. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Amen. This morning, if you've never committed to Christ, you've wrestled with it, you've talked about it, you've thought about it on your bed at night, you've wondered what in the world must to do to be saved, if the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart this morning, if you feel like you need to pray and do business with God and repent of your sins and get born again, it's as easy as when it's presented to you, just reaching out there and taking it. That's how simple it is. You know, I'm pinned back. It's just how simple it is. I mean, friend, there's no great... You don't have to create some great work. You haven't got to do something. You haven't got to levitate a table, move a picture on the wall, make the moon run round and round the earth. I mean, you ain't got to do some great work. All you got to do is reach out there and accept it when it's offered by the moving power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God, I bless His name, that He will cast out Noah. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. I'm glad He'll accept any sinner in any circumstance when the Holy Spirit holds out the offer of salvation to him. If it'll waiting for us to get good before we could have got saved, Brother David. We'd all be in hell. But thank God, He saved sinners. Woo! Are you committed to Him? I mean, in salvation, are you committed, friend? Have you ever been born again by the grace of God? Ephesians 2 and 11 said, "Wherefore remember that in time past, you Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, you're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without Christ in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes afar off are made now by the blood of Christ. I'm committed to Him, and He said, 'Draw nigh to me, and now draw nigh unto you.'" I ain't got for the commitment in salvation. Are you saved? Do you know that you know? In your heart, He's wrought a work of saving grace, birthed you in the family of God. First time I was born, Mama told me about it. Second time I was born, I told my mama about it. Amen. When I got born again. Bless His high and holy name. Are you committed in salvation? Are you committed in service this morning? Service to God and service to man. David was called a man who served his generation. Amen. He said he served his generation. Christ made Himself a servant unto us. He washed His disciples' feet. He said He took upon Him the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted Him and given a name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things of the earth, things of the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father. And so He became a servant unto us. He said, "He that humbleth himself shall be exalted, and he that exalteth himself shall be abased. Let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. Pride go before destruction, the haughty spirit before a fall." And so He said, "The meek shall inherit the earth." Amen. I mean, there's blessings in being a servant. Are you committed to service, friend? Sister Margaret's here this morning. Friday afternoon, some of you didn't know it, some of you found out about today. Friday afternoon, she was in a car wreck. And she got banged around, slapped around pretty good. I told her she looked like she got in a fight. I went a jackhammer in a circle saw. But she did look like she won. Amen. And so she was beat up pretty good. I walked in there and her eyes were swelled, just about shut and real sensitive. This morning, she looks like Hollywood back there with her sunglasses and all on. And so I told her, I said, "What are you doing, girl?" And she couldn't see me, but she recognized my voice. And she said, "Brother Toby's in here." She said, "Come here a minute." I went over there. "You know what she said, Brother John?" She didn't say, "You know, I feel so pitiful and it's so bad. And I'm so glad you're here. I need you." You know what she said to me? She said, "I got the church clean this morning." Amen. Hey, I'm saying that's a heart of service. That's been committed to service. Somebody say, "It wasn't much." It's a menial task. It's 3 or 4 hours. Scrubbing floors and vacuuming floors and scrubbing toilets. But my friend, we're all enjoying a clean church house this morning because she made that sacrifice and her priority wasn't on her head. That had swelled up and her bruised her ribs and all that stuff. But my friend, her priority was on being a servant. There's somebody else. I tell you, we need to make a commitment today to serving God and serving one another. What is serving God? What does it mean to serve God? Well, keeping oneself unspotted from worldliness is service to the Lord. Reading, studying God's Word, service to the Lord. Praying unequivocally is service to God. For by praying for others, Brother Brock, you become a servant to them. And in serving even the least of these, His brethren, Jesus said, "You have done it also unto me." He said, "Come on into my..." The last day, he said, "Come on into the sheep." He says, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. And when I was naked, you clothed me." They said, "Lord, when we see you this way?" He said, "In the least, as you've done it, in the least of these, my brethren, you've done it also to me." Serving one another, serving God. Are you always serving yourself, serving your self-interest, doing the things you care about and don't really care about nobody else? Would you learn to prefer your brother above yourself? Are you committed to service, friend? I mean serving one another. What does it mean? It means paying tithes, giving offerings to God, being a witness, rearing your children properly, setting an example of holiness and love in your family and your home, teaching, preaching, singing, and all the physical things one might do for the church, in the church and out of the church, or service unto the Lord. Are you truly committed to serving God? Committed in salvation and service. I don't say we need to be committed in any situation. Committed in any situation. I'm closing with this. You come on the song. Committed in any situation. Emmaus was a blind boy that sat on the wayside begging in Jericho. But as Jesus was passing through Jericho, Brother Charles, the Bible said that Bartimaeus heard about it and began to call on the name of the Lord. Said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. But you know what happened, Brother Andy? His friend said, now look, Bartimaeus. Oh, Bart, Jesus ain't got time for you. You're a blind boy. Best thing you can do is hush. Just don't talk to them. Everybody's tired of hearing you run your mouth. They're tired of hearing you beller out all the time, call out and just carry on like a crazy person. Just be quiet. Jesus ain't got time for you. If Bartimaeus had listened to him, Brother John, he'd still been blind. Somebody said the situation was not favorable. Wasn't for Bartimaeus neither. Everybody else told him to shut up. But he cried out the more exceedingly, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible said that Jesus said, bring him to me. They brought him to Jesus and he said, what should I do unto thee? He said, that I might have my sight. He said, all right. He gave him his sight just that fast. Are you committed in any situation? I mean, when folks talk about you, when they laugh at you, when you think you're crazy for serving God. Are you committed when your family mocks you? Are you committed when they treat you like an outcast? You committed when they don't want to have nothing to do with you because of the way you live? Don't look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. I've been there over and over and over again. But I'm committed to serving. I'm committed to serving. I'm here this morning. My dad-in-law in church with me saved. And I don't know what part, if any, the Lord let me have in any of that. I don't know that. Only the good Lord knows it. It's certainly a work of God. But I don't know, Brother John, that if 11 years ago when Sonia and I started seeing one another, there's a lot of folks railing on us for the way we were living, if today he'd be sitting here in the house of God saved or not. My failure might have hindered him. But he's got his sister with him this morning. Some of their family. Here we are in the house of God worshiping the Lord together. Best time Sister Alicia could have run through me 11, 12 years ago. Him and Brother David always been buddies. But this morning here they are saved by the grace of God. If I'd have quit, Lisa, 10 years ago, if I'd have quit and said, man, Sonny, just thrown in town, just give it all up, then who would it have hindered along the way? You see, you got to serve Him in any circumstance, in any situation. And it might be, friend, that you're helping people you don't even know you're helping. That you change lives you don't even know you're changing. That people's watching you when you don't even know they're watching. Old Naomi started home. She told Ruth and Orpah. She said, you're just going back home. Orpah said, all right, I'm going home. Ruth said, it don't matter what the situation. Said, I'm not leaving you. It don't make no difference. Where you go, I'm going to go. Where you lodge, I'm going to lodge. Your people's going to be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I'm going to die. Where you be buried, I'll be buried there. And all the death part, thee and me. I'm telling you, she said, I'm committed. Are you committed this morning? Are you committed? Are you committed in salvation, in service, in any circumstance, in any situation? Are you committed to serve God? I wonder this week, how committed are you to get a touch from God and the power of God in this revival? Have you already made some excuses as to why you cannot and will not get involved in the meeting? Is there anything between you and God today? Are you fully and totally surrendered to the Lord? Do you need to come do business with God? Would you stand with us? You need to pray. You come.